everyone. It's your girl, Kim Grant. I am back with my co-host, Victor Dion. And it is the Germantown Community Coalition Community Talks. We are back for season number 3. And we are starting with a hot topic. On Friday, June 24th, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. And that ended the right to abortion upheld for decades as was what was known as the Dobbs decision. Now abortion care is unavailable in 26 states, including Wisconsin. So we're going to talk about it. We got to talk about this. And what we have here today from Planned Parenthood, who we have is Miss Lisa Boyce from Planned Parenthood. And we're ready to dive into this. Welcome, Lisa, to our community talks of the Germantown Community Coalition.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I just wish it were under different circumstances.
Don't we all? And we also want to hear from our good compadre, Victor. How you doing, Victor?
I'm doing great, Kim. I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy that we're kicking off this new season and with a great subject and great people. And then we're going to be talking to Lisa today. So, Lisa, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Thank you, Victor. Yes, I am Lisa Boyce. I work with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. I work in media and communications, but I've been with Planned Parenthood for about 23 years in a variety of different capacities. So I've certainly seen many different political environments, but this is a new one that I never thought I would see. So,
you know, even though before the decision was overturned, there was leaks and things in the air, as that we could expect that the Roe versus Wade was going to be overturned. Even though we suspected that, it was a real shock when it actually happened. As some people to consider that this law should have been, it should have been a law by now, you know, in all of the years. But now that it has been overturned, how did Planned Parenthood prepare for the Dobbs decision?
Thanks, Kim. And yes, deciding if and when to become a parent is one of the most personal life-changing decisions a person can make. So that's what makes this moment so difficult. That said, we have been preparing and anticipating for this worst-case scenario for a very long time. Back 20 years ago, we've been trying to even repeal the pre-Roe law that has been on our state books for 173 years, that is now in effect here. So we were not successful because people, I think, had a really hard time believing that Roe would ever be repealed. We've never had a constitutionally protected right rescinded before, but here we are. Mm-hmm. And knowing that this was in the pipeline for over a year, we prepared by working with our partners in Illinois and in Minnesota, knowing that if Roe was overturned, our pre-Roe law that criminalizes abortion and bans it in every circumstance would go back into place. So we needed a plan to make sure that we could get care for people who needed it. And so we have been working, and our doctors now and our medical care personnel are now traveling to Illinois to provide abortion services to make sure that we can absorb the impact of so many states moving to ban abortion. So that's the one bright spot, is that because we were planning for it, we are now expanding access in a neighboring state so at least people can access the care when they need it.
Do you feel, I know you said you were planning, but do you feel like you were properly or adequately prepared? Or did it, once it happened, it was, oh my God, I can't believe it, but now we have to put this plan of action in. Did it kind of catch you off guard, or do you think you were readily prepared for it?
You know, for as much as we thought about it and talked about it and were planning around it, emotionally, it is impossible to prepare for a scenario where we had 70 people scheduled for care, and we had to call those people and say, I'm sorry, we can't take care of you. Mm-hmm. Those people had no understanding of why we suddenly could no longer provide this important medical care to them that they have been contemplating, many of them, for a very long time, to really determine what was right for themselves. And so emotionally, I don't think we could ever be prepared for it. Operationally, we were ready with a plan, and we were able to guide those patients and the hundreds of people who have come to us since then to give them information and options and financial assistance if that's what they need to access the care that they need across the border.
Okay. Question. Why does the medical community, including the American College of Obstetricians, gynecologists, and the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Family Physicians, and the World Health Organization, believe abortion access is health care?
Because it is.
Okay.
One in four people at some point in their lives, one in four women at some point in their lives, have access to abortion services. And it's for a range of reasons, either because they had been on a birth control method and it failed, a condom broke, or they learned they were pregnant and they weren't ready, pregnancy complications came about, or maybe they were in the midst of a miscarriage where they needed a DNC procedure that would complete the miscarriage. So abortion is healthcare that many women rely upon for a variety of reasons. And it's nobody's business but that woman and her physician to determine what healthcare is best for herself. And that's why so many respected medical institutions recognize this as an important component of people's reproductive care.
Mm. Yes, Lisa, thank you very much. As our community, our organization try to make sure that we're involved with the community. So we have to educate, to inform, and try to bring any solution we can. So just to help the community move forward. So that being said, I just wanted to ask this question stating that, what are the immediate issues facing our community as a result of the right to abortion care being taken away?
Victor, it's such an excellent question, because today doctors in Wisconsin are now put in the impossible decision, in the impossible position of waiting for their patients to get sick enough to provide needed medical care, forcing them to go against their oath to do no harm or face years in prison. Today, we're having to turn our backs on rape and incest victims who need access to care, re-victimizing them by denying access to needed medical care. And today, we're having to help people navigate to healthcare outside of Wisconsin who are already struggling with poverty, trauma, abuse, or the devastation of an unexpected pregnancy complication, or simply the complexities of traveling outside of the state for the first time to access essential medical care. And we're also seeing women with miscarriage being turned away at the ER because doctors are fearful they are going to be prosecuted under this criminal ban, even though miscarriage is not a service that should be denied women under this law. People are fearful and they're interpreting the laws in different ways. And so women who are pregnant or experiencing miscarriage should really understand they should not be fearful about accessing the care that they need. Or if women find that they're pregnant and they're not ready, they should not be fearful about asking a physician or Planned Parenthood or anyone for that matter about information about where they can go or access to medical care. That is not illegal. There's a lot of fear out there and a lot of misinformation. Mm-hmm. So getting the facts out there will be important. And the one thing that people need to know is Planned Parenthood stores are open. We will be here for you to provide you with all of your options. We will help you navigate to care. And it is not illegal for you to ask those questions and get help to access care outside of the state.
As a follow-up, what are we going to see in terms of negative health implication for women and girls?
Well, we're already seeing the impacts, and what we have seen so far are women delaying care, putting off a decision because they are so uncertain about how they're going to get across state lines if they don't have ready access to transportation or the ability to take off work or find childcare options for themselves. So the later you decide to terminate a pregnancy, if that is your choice, the riskier it is, the more expensive it is, and the more complications that can arise. Mm-hmm. We're seeing women who are really facing a difficult choice about whether they can continue with their education or try to identify a pathway to access abortion services. Okay. We know that when abortion is banned, it does not stop women from accessing that care if they have made up their mind that that's mm-hmm. what they want to pursue. And a recent study published this year indicated that banning abortion would lead to a 21% increase in the number of pregnancy-related deaths for all women.
Wow.
Because we know pregnancy is complicated, and mm-hmm. pregnancy can be a health complication for many women. And under this ban in Wisconsin, women who have health conditions that can become exacerbated through pregnancy are going to see a risk to their health and their lives that cannot be addressed in a timely manner. And that is a terrible concern. Mm-hmm. We also know that Black, Latino, and Indigenous people and those with low incomes and people in rural areas are going to be impacted most mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. Many people are struggling to make ends meet, and they are the ones who are often forced to delay abortion services because they need time to secure funds, access transportation. And many people are really afraid to travel outside of an area or because they've never traveled outside of their community, their city, or they don't have the means to, they don't have a car, they don't have access to public transportation. So you're already impacting people who are struggling, and it's just mm-hmm. not right.
Yeah. And you answered my next question, because I was just going to ask you, was how will Black and brown women be disproportionately affected? And you just said it's from their economic stance to transportation. And sometimes it could even be just their right to privacy.
Absolutely. This is an issue that people are not always comfortable talking about. They may be in relationships that are abusive, and they fear for their safety by admitting that they're pregnant. And so there's all sorts of complicating factors that people face when they find out that they have an unplanned pregnancy. People need to understand that there are resources, there are options for them, even with this incredible barrier. There are people, and Planned Parenthood's one of them, that our doors are open, and we're ready and willing to take care of you by providing you with information. We're not going to lead you into a decision that you're not comfortable with. We're here to provide you with all of your options if you decide to keep a pregnancy, referring you for prenatal care, or if you're not willing to terminate and you don't want to keep the pregnancy, referring you for adoption services. There's all sorts mm-hmm. of options that women should be comfortable coming to a place and making their own decisions about.
Can you tell me what are some of the economic consequences to women and girls when they are denied access to abortion care?
Well, the mental and financial impacts on women having a child before they're ready can be significant, and for some women, deadly. For some women, it's delaying education and foregoing hard-earned scholarships, or maybe even missing an opportunity to go to college, which means they will have less earning potential. For women who are in the workforce, that they could be facing lost worker wages or their jobs because they can't sustain their job because of pregnancy-related complications. Mm-hmm. And it's expensive to decide to have a child. And for many people, they're not ready financially or emotionally for those impacts. And every child deserves to be born into a world where they are ready to be cared for and to be loved.
Right. Well, what options does someone in need of abortion care have in our community? What options do they have now?
Well, obviously, in the state of Wisconsin, abortion is a criminal act. And so abortion is not an option in Wisconsin. There are some rare occasions where a woman's life is at risk that a physician may terminate a pregnancy. But as we've discovered in talking with physicians in the medical community, many physicians aren't comfortable being put in that position of facing prison time and having their medical opinion questioned about whether or not a woman's life was at immediate risk. So in Wisconsin, though, Planned Parenthood is here for people to find out if they're pregnant and how far along that pregnancy is. We will do free pregnancy assessment appointments so a person can determine how far along they are. And then we have patient navigators who will work with a patient to determine what their options are and if they would like to go to another state to terminate a pregnancy, how they can go about doing that. Do they want a medication abortion, which is happens with before the 11th week of pregnancy and a woman takes a medication to terminate the pregnancy, or are they beyond 11 weeks and do they and they would then need to have an in-clinic or a surgical abortion? So our navigators can help in scheduling appointments, explaining the process, and even arranging for transportation or financial assistance if that is what is needed.
Okay. Do you see this as a potential gateway? In the past, it's been called backdoor abortions. Do you see this as someone that becomes very desperate and they feel like this is the only way and it becomes more self-harm and they're trying other methods to have abortions and then could possibly end their life because they're not able to legally obtain the services that they're looking for? And do you see this as some people starting to practice unsafe ways for abortion services or people that are unethical creating ways or giving them services that they shouldn't? Like this, can you see this as a potential gateway to a bigger problem?
We are absolutely concerned about that because we know, again, banning abortion doesn't stop abortion. Mm-hmm. And it leads to people taking on desperate measures if they're in desperate situations. So we really encourage people to go to our website if they're faced with an unplanned pregnancy. We have information about what your options are in Wisconsin, how to access care. And there are resources there to find out where you can access care, but also there are resources where people have purchased safely medication online to terminate a pregnancy. It is illegal in the state of Wisconsin, people should know, to have pregnancy terminating medications mailed to their home.
Okay.
But there are websites out there, and we include information about some of those websites called Plan C that have safe information and medication that women can consider so they don't take matters into their own hands.
Okay.
Regardless, any woman who decides to terminate a pregnancy out of state or through their own means and experiences complications, they also need to know that it's safe for them to access care. They're not going to be reported to the police. They can come to Planned Parenthood and we will provide care without questions, without judgment, because that's what they need and that's what they deserve.
Can you tell me the difference between, I guess, the Plan B medication that you can purchase and then the illegal type of medications that you cannot have delivered to your home?
That is such an important question. Plan B is a birth control method that actually prevents pregnancy up to 5 days following unprotected sex. Plan B is legal and it's available over the counter, but it can be expensive. One dose of Plan B at your local store can cost up to $50 a dose, and that's pretty expensive for most people. So mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood provides that sort of birth control for free for anyone who needs it. Okay. And we can sign you up for a birth control program where you get your birth control prescriptions mailed to you every quarter. And we'll also include Plan B in case you're concerned that you missed a dose of your birth control or a condom broke. So okay. Plan B is an important resource for people to rely upon to prevent pregnancy, not to terminate a pregnancy, but to prevent it.
Great, great, great difference. Now, what can our listeners do to support abortion care rights as human rights?
Ooh, such a great question. There is something that people need to understand that is really important, and that is we don't have to live in a state where abortion is criminalized. Our state legislators have the power to repeal our 173-year-old law. So in Germantown, your state senator and your state assembly person both have acted to support criminalizing abortion. You, as a constituent, can contact your assembly person and your state senator mm-hmm. to say, please reconsider. This issue is important to me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see women's health or their lives harmed because of this. I believe that this is a human rights issue. Mm-hmm. So contacting your legislator and your state senator is absolutely essential. And if you don't know who that is or how to contact them, you can go to ppawi.org to find out how you can contact your state elected official. Okay. In the end, if they do not change their mind, you have the power of a vote.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Vote. Yes.
Those people who don't represent your values is absolutely essential when it comes to reproductive care, because now the Supreme Court has given this power to politicians. We have to pay attention more than ever where our politicians stand on these issues.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing. And one thing with us, with our time sensitive that we have right here, is that we don't just discuss here at Germantown Community Coalition. So one of our mottos is we don't talk about it, we be about it. And we want to make sure that we're about all of the things that we discuss and offer the resources to people and the information to those who need them or can pass them on, and make sure that we are aware of everything that's available. So I know one thing that we can do is read about abortion care stories and understand why it is a personal decision that should be only made by the patient. I believe one thing that kind of struck me hard was in the news when the 10-year-old was driven to Indiana because she was a victim of rape, because in her state it was illegal. But then there were some other, you know, legal ramifications for that. But how can you imagine being, one, raped at the age of 10? Then you find out that you're pregnant at the age of 10. And then you're forced to carry this child at the age of 10. And you were raped. And that is a lot. And that can have long-lasting traumatic effects on one person's life. So without the option or the choice to have, just imagine the life that they would have. Because I can't see that being productive to have a child born just because it's a life out of resentment, born out of hate. Of course, there are other options, but do you really think it's nice to have a 10-year-old carry a baby for adoption?
It's devastating, and it's also dangerous for someone that young
yes.
pregnant and to give birth to a child. So I can understand if people have different opinions on whether or not they agree with abortion. That is completely fine. I respect that. But most of us can agree that we would want our friends and family members to be able to get the health care they need when they mm-hmm. need. Mm-hmm. And that includes finding out that a family member has been victimized or abused. Abortion is such a complicated issue, and people, yeah. I'm not in that person's shoes.
Yeah.
They should be trusted to make the decisions that are best for themselves.
Exactly. We also want to make sure that we can donate to Planned Parenthood Wisconsin to support those seeking abortion care, because it is more expensive and even harder to access care even now more than ever. So donations, support for Planned Parenthood, that is a very important factor as a way a community can be about the change and supply the services that now will cause you to have to cross state lines to have to seek. So the more that you receive in donations and contributions could also help women who have made a decision that has to travel way further than they ever had to do before.
Well, we certainly appreciate that. And yes, that is one thing that people, when they call and ask what they can do, we are directing them to support patients who are seeking care, because insurance largely does not cover this. Medicaid largely does not cover this. Unless it's a very narrow circumstance, if you're a victim of sexual assault or rape. So yes, we appreciate that. And I think also people just understanding that talking about this issue is more important than ever. You know, believe it or not, most of us know someone who's had an abortion, because one in four women have needed to access that healthcare service. And the more we talk about it and humanize it, I think it's easier for people to understand, oh, okay, I didn't know that about you or your sister, or your family member. And I can understand that. And, want to do what I can to support other people's decisions if I'm not going to make that decision for myself.
Okay. We also had a couple of other things that we want to make sure that we advocate for: bodily autonomy and personal medical privacy, and also want to be able to educate others on the harmful effects of banning abortion care. Those are a lot of things that we can take and self-educate yourself. Educate themselves about just how detrimental the overturning of Roe versus Wade could affect women and their privacy and their freedom of choice to say that I want to be in charge of my own body, my own health care, exactly what happens, and under whatever circumstances, that we're not to judge anyone about whatever decisions that they decide to make regarding their body. Are there any other last words you have, Victor?
No, I think these answers were very clear and beautifully done with Lisa. So I guess that we need more engagement from the community. We need more engagement from organizations like the GCC, just to make more impact and make all the leaders aware that this is a necessity. This is a right for women and for girls. And these things has to be, you know, like taken seriously. And all communities, all organizations, like to be more engaged just to fight for women's rights and human rights. So that's all I have for today. Thank you very much. It has been a rocky start, but it's so interesting, so educational, and we want more, but time is very sensitive. So,
And we thank you, Lisa, so much for your time. Thank you for speaking with us, and we are calling for as much support of all of the work that's coming upon you guys now since this decision has taken place. We want to make sure that all of you all make sure you take care of yourselves and remain healthy. The mental health toll that it could probably take on you guys, we have so much respect and love for people in your position as you extend yourselves to help others. But we also want to encourage you as well to take the breaks and have to make sure that you remain healthy as well.
That is just so thoughtful. And from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate that. There's so many people that need care, and we just want to make sure that people access the care that they need right now, be it birth control, be it finding out about sex education so people know the facts. We're here for them. And we're doing everything we can to look at our legal options. And we're not going to give up, not now, not ever. And really appreciate everyone joining in and doing what they can to put pressure on your state elected leaders and to do what you can to fight back. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you once again. And we want to make sure that we remember, as before we leave, as Lisa said, that we have to put pressure on our legislators. So if we want change, we have to vote our change. If we want your voice to be heard, you have to show up and make sure that you vote for the people who believe in the cause of what you, because you're not just fighting for you. We could be fighting for that young lady that needs services, could be your aunt, could be your sister, could be, you know, your cousin, could be your student, could be your daughter's friend, your son's friend. We have no idea what people go through on a daily basis. So if you want your voice to be heard, we have to get out and vote. If we cannot simply have those who listen to us make a change, then get to the ballots and make the change yourself. And that's how we're going to not just talk about it, we're going to be about it. So until our next episode, this is Kim Grant and Victor, special guest Lisa Boyce. Thank you once again. And the Germantown Community Coalition. Until next time, peace.